So Kiluan Yiki Agenda, very happy to welcome you again. It's a very inspiring contemporary artist based in Angola. He visited us for this break, not only to give the talk tonight, but as I introduced previously, he will read a political poem later in the concert. Tonight, he will talk on redefining power. This is one title of a public intervention that Kiluanji did in his country, but also he will use this as a model to connect his practice with this political model and resonances of music in the public space, in politics and society, intertwined with the history of Angola. Let's welcome Kiluanji.
Good evening. Such was so brilliant. I should go home. Yeah, you don't do that. Like, I came from so far away. I can't find my file here. What is that? I can have some escape. Okay, cool. Okay, we'll start with this blank image. I did this image like kind of 10 years ago. It's one of my first works. Like, I love the desert. And when I went to the desert, that what it really inspired me was this like emptiness. Let's say I'm from Angola, and my work, I'm sorry, my name is Kiluanji Kiahe, and I'm from Angola. I was born in 1979. I know that I look younger, but it's, I've been always interested about the history of Angola, how we could be connected to it, but not only on the way of knowing what happened in the past, but how we could transform it in some knowledge for the future. And for me, it's this territory that it was not always called Angola. It was divided into many other kingdoms and spaces. There's something that for me it was very curious, that some kind of magnetism. If we look to the many different the different periods, historical periods, from the slavery to the colonization to the civil war, and like it's been some few months ago, you know, when I'm with some friends and like having party and some drinks and thinking like, my God, what's happening here in this country? If you look back, like 400 years ago, 300 years ago, a third of the slaves that were taken from Africa, let's say, to be more politically correct, the enslaved Africans that were taken to America, a third came from Angola, were taken from Angola, and then you had all these colonial history, which we had to go through 14 years of civil war. And then we had the longest, 14 years of colonial war. And then we had the longest civil war in Africa. And then we had one of the biggest scandal of corruptions, like nowadays, in the African continent. And you think like, what's going on? And I started to think like, maybe is the head of the king of Congo that was killed by José Luis López Cerqueira on the around the 17th century, and it was sent to Luanda, and this head of the king is there in a church in Luanda. So, but the king, the capital was Baza Congo. Maybe we should return this head and on the order to close all those cycles of violence. And that's how I start think like, okay, yeah, we have to deal with history, but I'm not a historian. I'm an artist. I'm happy that I'm an artist because I can lie without being called a liar. And so I don't like, I can tell you that you can believe everything I will tell here. Don't, it's not my responsibility. And so I did this film. I will start with this film I did 2 years ago that calls Havemos de Voltar. We Shall Return. It's based on the poem of Agostinho Neto, the first president of Angola, when Angola got independent from the Portuguese colonizers in 1975. Agostinho Neto was a doctor and also a poet, and he has this poem. And basically what he defends is that if the African men, they really want to be independent, they have to return to their traditions and habits, the pre-colonial period, something that I really doubt we are able to do that right now. Because somehow all those periods of violence had passed, we didn't have time to reflect on it. So it's kind of we've been run over by history. So it's we still have a lot of problems, like from Stone Age, to be solved, but we also have to be part of this modernization, you know, from internet to airplanes to whatever happens, even crack. And so what I thought, it's kind of, I was invited to do this, a project with a prototype of antelope that exists in Angola. It only exists in Angola, and it's like a national symbol. And they wanted me to paint it, and I hate to paint. And so I thought, well, I don't want to do any kind of intervention, but maybe I can tell a story about this animal. And the story starts on those tiles from the colonial time that were telling like the old colonial narrative. And that's the animal that's we call Palanca Negra Gigante. And I thought like maybe let me work on this story. And the story starts with her, Amélia Capomba. Amélia Capomba is an antelope that is inside the cultural historical center in Luanda, and she wants to escape this condition of being an embalmed animal. She wants to escape because the taxidermist that did the work did like a wrong job, and he left her brain, and so she still remember her time on the on the forest. She still have like these memories of the forest. So she's inside this big saloon, this colonial saloon, but she wants to go back to the past, and she wants to have her revenge against history, because she became an object to be used by the historians, to be a kind of a decoration object inside the colonial building. And so Amélia Capomba wants to go back, and yeah, she wants to have her revenge. And as the way Agostinho Neto also talks about going back, and all that she has left in her mind, like she can remind like about the forest, the place she comes from, is the Natural History Museum. Which means like, for more that you do this effort of the place, this ancestral place you come from, it will always have some part of it that is a fantasy, it's fiction. We can never return to that pure place what many populist politicians in Africa defend, like. And so she dreams about this place, it ends up in a historical museum. But meanwhile, there's this Chinese commercial guy that has a discotheque, and he wants to convince the director of the museum to sell him Amélia Capomba to stay in her discotheque as an object of decoration. So he always like be visiting this historical archive center and talking to this man and like, please sell me this object. I want to for my discotheque. And and like the man goes, and the director goes, no, man, like Amelia is very important here. But he decided to steal it. So Amelia starts doing her travel in the city, and she's very happy because she thinks, like, finally I'm escaping, I'm going back to the past, and I'm gonna have my revision, like, one people, one nation, that says on the wall, Amelia is on the way to the past, and finally she's on the discotheque of the Chinese. But through the traditional sound, you know, she starts dreaming, and the drums, and Amelia goes inside this time machine, and she goes back. Yeah, she goes back, but to the right period of history. She goes back, actually, when the South African army is invading Angola. That's the moment Amelia goes back, like, to this part of the past, the 70, after 75. Yeah, because I still think, like, music was the way that she could find to go back. Because we're still having problems of, like, archive, images. It was wonderful. I was, like, I was really jealous when I was seeing those images that Sach was showing here. You don't see those images in Angola. It was like, my God, what's happening here? Like, and so, like, but the sound is there. Yeah, you cannot steal the music. You cannot steal the sound. Yeah, it's something that stays there. But Amelia goes back to the wrong time, and she probably got shot. But it also brought me to this period of 1975, where Angola got independent, and there was this idea of like the country, new country, freedom, and the party that took the power as this belief of being a communist party. And even if some people, some of the personages like Mario Pinto de Andrade, a great intellectual and writer from Angola, had this idea of the social democracy, it was not an easy way to go, an easy path. So the communism was what happening in Angola. And I did this project under the silent eye of Lenin, because this sentence is one of the speech of Agostinho Neto when they did the first Congress, and they went like, okay, well, we are not a party struggling against colonization anymore. We now a political movement, and I found the MPLA under the silent eye of Lenin, which make me think, whoa, this sentence was very strong. It's like Lenin still alive somewhere watching us. And because we also have a mausoleum in Angola that was built by the Russians at the beginning of '80s, paid by the Angola government to keep the body of Agostinho Neto. I think it was like the first black person being embalmed inside the mausoleum. I'm quite sure about it. But this idea of Lenin being alive and all this impact that the Cold War had in Angola made me create some parallels, because we really had a problem like to define what was our role during the Cold War, beside being kind of a puppet, you know. And this figure of Lenin, which I start working like for this installation with all these nails on it, because I thought like during that, the Cold War, the science fiction was very important as a way also to create this idea of invincibility, to create this idea to fight against our own fears, you know. It's like there will be a hero that will save us no matter what is the enemy. And so there was the science fiction for that. And I was thinking in Angola what we could be, what we could find that would be similar to that, a parallel to that. And that was the witchcraft, sorcery. That what I found that was most close, because when I was a kid in Luanda, you know, when the Cold War finished, when the Civil War finished in Angola, I was 23 years old. And when I was like a kid, I remembered to listen all these crazy stories about people flying, about people like teleportation, you know, all those effects you see in the science fiction. It was very close to the witchcraft too. So I decided to create this object that is Lenin as a amuleto, as we say in Portuguese, as a witchcraft object. So this installation starts to talk a period which in Angola is that the situation also started to be more violent. And it was right after the independence, and we had the 27th of May of 1997, where people from different political ideology beliefs couldn't have space, so there was a big genocide. And many of those people that were killed, they were intellectuals, and the most famous of them, they were musicians, like Artur Nunes, David Zé, Urbano de Castro, because their music was music that would connect with this revolution that was happening. It was very political. It was very connected with this suffering that happened during the colonial war. And that was dangerous at that time. People needed to control, the party in power needed to control all these creation that was happening. At the end, the culture became one of the tools of the revolution in such an order that it completely shaped the creation, what was happening in what the artists were creating in Angola during the 80s. And these are some posters that are archive pictures, which I mixed with Russian revolutionary posters from the beginning of the 20th century. And that, for me, was important to create this relation, because it was a kind of snowball effect for what happened in the beginning of the century with the October Revolution, from the what happened in Cuba in the 50s, which inspired a lot the struggle in Angola. So all the what was happening, what Fidel Castro, Che Guevara were doing, it inspired a lot the movement for the struggle in Angola. And so I mixed those two images from the layouts, from the revolutionary posters, with the images of the Russian soldiers in Angola. And it goes on like this idea of the revolution taking place, and those are some of the few walls that I could find in the south of the country, which would tell a lot of what the situation was happening at that time. For me, that was like the contemporary art during the 80s. Which we could get some information of the real situation. Because at that time, the artists were so afraid of like trying to have their own opinion of being political, that the art was more turning into like talking about love and not being political at all, because there was all this fear. So in redefining the power, there's this I did this series in 10 years ago, and I was thinking a lot how we young people dealing with this past. So those monuments you see here, the monuments that were removed in 1975 after the Angolan independence from the most of colonial monuments, is but yeah, that's the first king of Portugal, that's the one of the governments in Luanda, governors, but and that Camões, Vasco da Gama, so all the Portuguese heroes, all those monuments, they were removed during 1975, and they were taken to this place, and the plinths were empty, and we were like, and these were like much of the attitude of the Cubans, because they were most like iconoclast, let's say. Yeah, we have to erase this story, and we have to start something new. And but I love to be in this museum because I visit this a lot. I go there very often, and to see this meeting between all these Portuguese heroes that were there since 1975, 76, and this African queen that was supposed to be there temporarily because the square where she was being restored. And she's Rainha Jingambandi, the Queen Jingambandi, one of the most important queens in African history. And the queen arrives in a Russian 4x4. And there is kind of a conflict there, if you look, the king, first king of Portugal and the queen. Like, they are facing each other. And if you see, like, the king, he's, like, with his sword down, and Camões is trying to explain the situation. So it won't finish in like in a big shit saying like, come on, no, we are in peace. But the queen is really furious, you know, the queen don't give a shit. And so she goes on with, you know, she arrives in this Russian car with her ex and like, and she got the Paulo Dias de Novais, who is the founder of the city of Luanda. Yeah, has refém. How you say refém in English? Hostage. Yeah, as a hostage. Thank you, Jabir. Jabir just came for that. All the way down from Luanda. Yeah. He's my hostage, Jabir. Well, and so he had like Paulo Dias de Novais as a hostage. And the thing is, like, this queen, she was in jail inside this fort 400 years ago, and in that she was baptized there. She was Queen Rainha Jingambandi, and then she got the name Ana de Souza. And her sister died inside this fort because she was released, but the sister had to stay. But she's back now, like 400 years after, she's back, and she starts like her revenge, you know. And Vasco da Gama is very worried, like, and the situation got really tense here between those monuments, you know, like. And you see all those equipments from different eras, because you see, like, those cannon balls from the 300 years ago. You see, like, the ones from... like the older ones, this is the South African cars they're using for the invasion. You see this one with like 200 years. So even like the weapons you find around, like they all had all this story. They can tell the story this of violence that happened in this place, in this country. And one day I had a meeting with, I didn't have a meeting, I was an exhibition in Bahia, Salvador. I was showing this work, and there was one of the Minister of Culture of Angola, she was there visiting, and she was kind of, what do you really mean with this work? And I was telling her, like, yeah, it was there, blah, 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 yeah. And she was like, come on. Why are you speaking about those monuments, the Portuguese monuments, like that? You know, like, they are part of our history, and they deserve, like, a place. And I was like, come on. for me, those Portuguese monuments, they're clandestines. Their visa is expired. Yeah, no, they should be returned. But I even told her, like, yeah, and she was, like, very angry at me, like, ah, how can you say that? You young people, punks. So, like, no, it's like, it doesn't make sense to keep it there. Like, we should do some trade, you know? Send the African objects and sculpture and art, and we're gonna send all these European monuments we have here, you know? We're gonna send the head of the Afonso Henriquez or whatever. Well, we're gonna stay with Camões. He's a very, come on, let's say. He's a poet, you know? Normally we have this, we try to defend the poets, even when they're bad guys. And so when I thought, like, my God, well, there is these monuments were taken away. Where are the plinths? Must be somewhere. So I invited some crazy people and said, like, let's take over those plinths because they cannot be empty for such long. They were, like, empty for 40 years. And it has a lot to do also with this emptiness of reflection that the Angolan history had, like, this period that... Because when you're, like, living this extreme violence, yes, you don't think about history. You don't think about future. You just, yeah, like, trying to solve those problems on the present, you know? And that's what really still a problem to solve in our continent, is that possibility of doing those projections, you know, the access to the past, but also this possibility of to project the future. And so I invited Shunash Fiel, which is a poet and a fashion designer for one of the plinths, and he took those books and, like, and then I invited Didi Fernandes, which is like a gay activist, and the idea was to dress him as a bride, like he was getting married, and the same plinth that was the founder of the city of Luanda. And then I also invited Prince. Maybe you cannot see here Prince very well. Well, it's not the same Prince Sach was talking about. This Prince he's a prince. He lives with this paranoia with Prince, so he has all these tattoos with the symbol of Prince, or symbol of Prince. And he lived in Germany for a long time, you know, like near Stuttgart. And he was kind of a performer. He always lived like a crazy guy, be like dressing in a very crazy way. And that's the kind of people I want to have in this plinth. But like, it was not easy to do this shot, this photograph, because he decided to smoke a joint before going up. And the guy was feeling the spirit of the monument. I say, no, Hilmanj, I can't stand here, man. Like, this Portuguese monument is coming, like, he's killed me, like, he's gonna kill me. And I say, come on, man. Yeah, you shouldn't have, like, smoking joints and go on plinths, on colonial plinths. That's the worst thing you can do in your life. Don't do it. Don't smoke marijuana and go up on plinths. So, like, but all the things, like, went out and... And I did this project, Versus Carnaval, and Versus Carnaval was... The people, I was like grabbing in the street. I was working together. I had two assistants. One was an actor. The other was a military guy, Angolan SEAL. Said, look, we have to do this project now. An old friend said, look, to invite people from Carnaval to come to this place, to this studio, and take out all the elements from the Carnaval, let's say. Carnaval is a collective party. We're going to do it like isolated, one person. Carnaval is colorful, we're gonna do it black and white. Yeah, let's see how it works. But for me, I was doing this project also thinking of all this imagination that could come from the outskirts of Luanda. How all what was being reinvented in terms of culture and music mainly was coming from those outskirts of Luanda. So during the 90s, that was the most violent period in Angola. One of the most positive things was also the same decade that Kuduro was born. So this music was there. And this music for me was not a reflection of the of the social situation of what people were living. This music was more this situation itself. So it was not a critical. If the many, like the songs I know from Kuduro, you don't find like this critical point. It's just like they being what they are, they want to be, and the way they want to be. And it's the rhythm is very connected with the music that comes from Carnival. And in Carnival in Luanda, you also feel that that it's a moment of celebration, but the attitude is also very aggressive in the streets, because it's also a moment that people have to pull it out, all the rage they feel. And it's very curious, because in Angola, like if you go to a party and you start dancing to music, and people really don't think about what the lyric is. We are more into the rhythm, and sometimes the lyric can be sad, and sometimes the lyrics can start bring something from our history, some dark parts of our history, but it's not what matters. We have to bring out that joy. And so to end, when I finished this project, then I it was before that, I worked with Poderosa. And Poderosa, the Bom Jesus, I will finish now. Poderosa, it's a travesti that I met. How do you say that in English? Jabir? Travesti, thank you. And Poderosa is a travesti from the outskirts of Luanda. And one day I went to a party of Kuduro, like in the township, and I met this group of travesti, and that was Poderosa, the almighty one, if you translate that in Portuguese. And it was after I did a travel inside of the interior of Angola and tried to see how the country was changing after the peace, you know. So you had this Chinese influence, the products, which then I used some archive pictures to print on those Chinese. But then I asked Poderosa to do this portrait. Say, Poderosa, I love to meet you, like you and your old friend. And I love to do this portrait, you as an African traditional woman. And she was very suspicious. You know, like we had to negotiate, and so we had to fabricate all this scenario. So to take Poderosa to this place, my idea was to create a trap. My idea was to create this image where people would look and say, oh, look, that's deep Africa. Whoa, that's traditional African woman. But when you look at it better, you say, well, it's not a woman. If you look to the shoes, you say, whoa, it's not traditional. And the landscape is like actually very near to the city. Actually, it's an industrial area. So she was just fabricated, but not only for the foreign eye, but also to the local ones, because we still have this idea like, okay, we respect a lot our tradition, but today many of the Angolans, mainly the ones that are in power, that most worried about Mercedes-Benz and stuff. And so when I did this photo, I did exhibition in Brazil, and I exhibited that in São Paulo in a gallery in 2009. And after the exhibition, during the exhibition, came this man, Bantu Tabacissa, is an Angolan guy that living in São Paulo for like that time. He was 25 years living in São Paulo, and he was like marking his territory, saying like, "But who are you? What are you doing here? You know, I'm the African artist here. I've been doing like, I do music, I do paintings, I cook, like Sachi in Berlin, you know." Yeah, that's my territory, watch out. I said, come on, what's this guy? And like Bantu was like taking over the place, and then he left. After 15 minutes, he left. And when I returned to Luanda, on the way to my studio, like 2 months after, I saw this news on newspaper, like African has been exhibiting, like this exhibition about Africa in the São Paulo Assembly, and I was like, what? I know this face, that's Bantu. But when I look at better, like the painting he has behind him is my photograph that he just copied, and I was like, and I start reading the article, and I was like, boy, and the exhibition was about African traditional women. And for me, it was kind of, what's happening here? And as well, I knew that it was a trap, and he fell in this trap. But I really didn't like the fact that he also painted the shoes, because this was my brand, you know, like it was. But I thought, actually, like, okay, stop being stupid. Bantu, actually, yeah, it's a cool guy. He's just doing the work he has to do, because that's the work was meant to be created. And he actually, he realized the Poderosa dream, because the Poderosa dream is to be a woman. And in Bantu Tabassi's exhibition, she is being presented as a woman. Not like in my exhibition, everyone knows she's a travesty. So I decided to buy the paint. But he doesn't know that I bought it, because it was in 2009. And so in 2014, I talked with a friend from São Paulo and said, can you find this guy? I need this paint. And so she went to his studio. And Bantu, she recorded the conversation with Bantu. And Bantu was telling, yeah, no, this woman's a traditional African Angolan woman. Like, she's part of a tribe, 20,000 people. Like, rah, rah, rah. And she, so there's a whole story about this woman. And like, yeah, but Bantu is the real alchemist. She turned Poderosa into a woman, and I have to thank that. Thank you. Yeah.